Good morning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away, and she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, and I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness and became an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me, or with my offspring, or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown to you, and you shall show to me, and to the land in which you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I swear it. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. Neither did you tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Then Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what do these seven ewe lambs mean which you have set by themselves? And he said, you shall take these seven ewe lambs from my hand in order that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there the two of them took an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days. Amen. If you take a note and turn to Galatians chapter 4. We'll get there in a moment. Just keep your finger there. And so Isaac is born here in this place. And so finally, it says God takes note of Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he has promised. And so Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time. Notice there's two important things that are said here. One, the Lord takes note of Sarah. And then, when it happens, it bore a son at the appointed time. Especially when, waiting is one of these very difficult themes that many people are struggle with. I mean, to be perfectly honest, seems like someone is always waiting for something when it comes into their relationship with God, or healing, or salvation of a family member. The kind of interwoven within the Christian experience is waiting. And so here's a great passage about this waiting. I mean, these guys wait a long time. And notice, God took note of the situation, and then at the appointed time, it was taken care of. And I think it's really important for us to recognize that God sees. He takes note of what's going on in and around our lives, and it's going to come to pass at the appointed time. And so whatever the purpose of God is in the waiting, the best thing we could do is just give ourselves to those things, okay? And so Abraham obeys God. He obeys him two ways. One, he names him Isaac, which is a really peculiar name, okay? Now, Isaac is a very popular name now, but you know, it means he laughs. It's not quite the majestic name that you would expect. You know, Abraham's name is a father of multitudes, and his son's name is Laughter. You know, it's not necessarily the most you know, magnificent name, but that's what the angel Lord told him. You should name him Isaac, and on the eighth day you should circumcise him. And so this is actually the first circumcision of a baby that takes place. Now, you know, circumcising a grown man, be it painful for the man, yes, right, but probably very easy for the one who's circumcising, who's doing the circumcision. Now, this is the first instance of a baby that's being circumcised, and this is Isaac, and he was on the eighth day, but this is precisely what God had asked him to do, and so he's just purely, you know, moving out of obedience into this place. So he does it, and now we see a major shift kind of take place. Remember, before, when the angel announced to Sarah, or the visitor, remember, most likely Christ himself, announced that it's going to happen. Remember, Sarah laughed to herself, you know, but it was more of a, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, I'm so old. This is never going to happen. And now, in verse 6, is a total redemption of that. And it says, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. This is very different, and you know, many of us are very familiar with this. It's a lot better when people are laughing with you than laughing at you, right? In the beginning, she was referring to people are going to laugh at me, like this is a joke. And now God has totally redeemed this whole situation and saying people are going to laugh with me. This is going to be a joyful, you know, occasion. This is not going to be mocking or ridicule. This is going to be pure joy, and people are going to basically celebrate with me, you know, during this whole thing. And that's, isn't that precisely what happens? You know, there's an old verse that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so if that's the case, then answer prayer, it makes the heart joyful. If you take the flip side of that. And so that there's, you know, there's something quite positive and so redemptive, you know, in that whole thing, where I think when we've been waiting on something for so long and it happens, there's a bit of preciousness in our hearts that, I don't know, it just means more to us in that way. You know, for whatever reason, you know, I mean, this is it's not a great example, but some of you guys may have heard already that my wife is pregnant and we're finally having a boy, you know, after all this time. Yeah, praise God, hallelujah, all those good things. After three girls. Well, you give me that look. She's giving me a look now. So, and I say it this way, I'm not devaluing the girls that I have. I mean, I love, they're incredible. But I always thought if I had a boy early on, honestly, I would probably beat the crap out of him every day. It's the honest truth. I would be so hard on him. You know, I'd expect nothing but perfection. You know, he better have some mad ball skills, right? I mean, from the crib, right? He better be spinning the ball on his finger. And because I have a lot of these perfectionistic, you know, and I demand a lot of myself. And because it's not my son, I'm going to demand a lot of him. Well, now after, you know, 8-9 years now of having kids, I'm a lot more relaxed. And my feeling now is, you know, this boy that comes, I'm not going to beat the crap on him every day. I'm honest, I'm just gonna try to be chill. But if that happened before, who knows, man? I honestly, I would probably beat the crap out of him every day. I know I said that many times already now, but I mean it's the truth, and it was always something in my mind. And but now it's like this whole thing of hope deferred. It's you're a lot more level. Is that okay? I said that. Is that cool? All right, we're gonna have to talk later. So, you know, just to say that, I mean, I like verse 6, right? It's just everything changed. God has made laughter with me, right? Now, yeah, no one's laughing at me. This is no longer a joke. Wow, we're gonna celebrate together, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. This is gonna be just a huge celebration, and God is really able to do that. And she goes on, so child gets weaned. Abraham has a great feast on that day that Isaac was weaned. This is Eastern culture, by the way. This is just precisely what happens. And I think a lot of us Asians, we recognize this because we probably make a bigger deal than probably our Western counterparts. You know, we do the 100-day celebration. I know in the Chinese culture, you guys wait 30 days, right, a whole month. Before its baby comes out. Then the first birthday is a huge birthday. And very much similar, you know, weaned, probably is happening usually about 3 years old in the Eastern culture. And the baby is out and a huge feast and celebration. And then what happens is Ishmael figures out, hey, the scenery has now changed. I'm no longer number one in this house. You know, everything's different now. And so he says here, so Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian who had borne Abraham, mocking or playing. I want to contend to you that actually it's a little stronger language. In chapter 4 of Galatians, Paul writes about this. Let's go from verse 21. Tell me who you want to be under, law, or do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But at that time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. And what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman should not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of a free woman. And so Paul is using this story of Hagar and Sarah to illustrate the picture of Old Covenant and New Covenant. But in that, there's a line that says, and it says he persecuted, where in Genesis, the passage is talking about mocking. Most likely, it was a little more than just mocking or playing. There was probably violence during this time. And so in this instance, Sarah is actually gravely concerned for her son because Ishmael has started to persecute or commit acts of violence against Isaac. And I mean, you've seen this. I mean, I've heard from, you know, parents already who've, you know, there was the last baby, you know, second or third child, the next baby comes and the baby, you know, the sibling just comes and starts smacking the baby around, you know, all the time. It happens, right? It happens all the time. And we see that they're threatened now. Oh, they're not the baby of the family anymore. They're not, you know, the cute button. You know, now there's another cute button in the picture. And so there's some animosity that's taken place, but on a more violent level, according to what Paul is saying. And so, therefore, she says to Abraham, drive her out. You know, she needs to leave the house. There's all these things that are happening here. And so, you know, Abraham, this is still his son, right? It's not Sarah's son, but it's Abraham's son. So he's greatly distressed, but the word of the Lord comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, listen to your wife. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. Because through Isaac, your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid, I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. And so, you know, this is great advice. Hey, listen to your wife. She knows what she's talking about, right? She understands this whole play that's at work. But don't worry, I'm going to take care of your other son as well. He is also going to be a great nation. And so they're sent off. So Abraham rises early in the morning, and he takes bread and a skin of water, gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy, sent her away, and she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. At this time, the boy is probably about 17 years old, you know, if we follow the order correctly in all the events that are taking place. So he's a grown man, you know, in this place. And so she gives him basically rations for a few days. They start wandering in the wilderness, and all these kinds of things happen. And next thing you know, there's no more water. The bread's gone, and they're in despair. They're in the desert. And so she sets him down basically to die. She moves away so she can die, and that's probably about it. But do you remember when this kind of scenario happened before, when Ishmael was born, and she named him as God Who Sees? And so God Who Sees comes and shows her and says, hey, don't fear. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make a great nation. And then in verse 19, God opened her eyes. Interesting thing, in before, her the name was God Who Sees. God, you know, who opened his eyes. And now God opens her eyes to see. And then she sees his well of water. She went, she fills the land, and then they live in Paran. And the mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And now basically the beginning of the Palestinian people start arising from this place. Then another interesting passage happens. And this just really goes to show really the incredible blessing that was on Abraham. I mean, we will have met Abimelech yesterday in the last chapter. And, you know, Abraham, I don't know what this guy's thinking. He tells everyone, oh, this is my wife. He, the second time again, right? Tells him, this is my wife. The king takes him, right? So Abraham still got trust issues, you know, as all these things are taking place. And Abimelech is on the scene. And Abimelech is very gracious, even though Abraham said, I didn't know there was any God-fearing people here. But obviously Abimelech was a God-fearing person. And now, so Abimelech and Phicol come, and he says, you know, God has been blessing you. There's something about you, Abraham, and God just blesses you. So let's make a covenant with each other. Abimelech is one smart dude, man. This guy is a smart guy. He recognizes the favor of God on somebody, and he gets around them. You know what I mean? This is just this is just good wisdom. You meet someone that has the favor of God over their life. You know, you meet someone that just has something in God. Get around that person. You know what I mean? Hang out with that person. Listen to that person. Try to glean things from that person. You know, I mean, in some ways, this could be called modern day mentoring. Right, or a modern-day discipleship or whatnot. And that's precisely how this rabbinical system actually starts. You know, the whole idea of rabbi is that people want to follow people. Right? And so there's a teacher, a rabbi, a good guy, and guys just want to follow him. And so they ask him to be their teacher. I mean, that's basically how this whole thing goes, you know, in this way, which is very different than when Jesus comes, because Jesus actually calls his disciples to join him, which is totally different, right? You know, it's really not really the system by how it works. And so they come, and he says he gets around this Abraham because he has so much favor. And so it says, God is with you in all that you do, right? God is just with you. So I want to hang out with you, right? I want to have a covenant with you in this way. And so they agree to this thing, and Abraham said, I swear it. But then he turns to him, and he complains to Abimelech. He actually rebukes Abimelech, and he said, you guys took this well. Now, in this time frame, a well was a very, very important piece of real estate. People dictated where they moved and lived because of the well. The well actually was a claiming of ownership in this way. You'll see this all the way in the New Testament when Jesus in John 4 is talking to the Samaritan woman, and he's talking about, well, this is the well that, you know, Jacob dug, or the well that Abraham dug, you know, and all these language and represented, hey, this is the well they dug, so this land belongs to them. You know, because obviously water will be a precious resource in this region. And so he's coming to this place and says, hey, you guys took a well that I dug, and you guys claimed for yourself. And Abimelech said, I had no idea that this happened. This really happened. And obviously he gives back, and then gives back even more so to them in this place. And so then they named this place Beersheba, because the two of them took an oath with one another, and then this place he calls upon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And so we have this picture of how it comes about. So let's close our eyes. Then we have a couple angles to go with as we pray today. One is this whole idea, not just idea, but a whole issue when it comes to this picture of waiting. God takes note, and then at the appointed time. In other words, God's not fickle. He's not, doing things on a whim. God has an appointed time. It's kairos. And if you're waiting on the Lord, right, there is an appointed time. And so there must be a purpose to God in the waiting. There's an appointed time that's coming. And so you give yourself into that waiting. Another prayer point that we can think about, you know, 1 Corinthians tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. Abimelech is doing the opposite. He's getting himself around good company where there is incredible blessing. Who do you hang out with? Who are you fellowshipping with? And I'm not meaning that, you know, forget all of your non-Christian friends, because even your Christian friends could be idiots, you know. They could be totally lack faith. They could be, you know, what my professor called Christians in name only Christians. And so who are you hanging out with? Who are you around? Are you around men and women of God where there's the favor of the Lord on them? Or are you just always hanging out with knuckleheads? You know, you need to hang out with knuckleheads, right? You need to be a witness. But all the time, bad company corrupts good morals. Well, let's let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. And give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Let's pray this morning. If you are waiting upon the Lord, well, let's pray for our hearts to be aligned with His heart. Let's pray that whatever purpose of God there is in the waiting, that they would be accomplished in the Lord. If you know someone, if you're waiting, pray for yourself. If you know someone who's in that place of waiting, you know, just lift them up to the Lord. Ask for God's hand to be with him, and that His purposes, there's an appointed time, right? Then He's going to turn, right, just like He did for Sarah, that laughter into joy. That mocking, right, into celebration. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our friends and family that are going through different illnesses, especially dealing with cancer. Let's pray for God's hand upon their life. Just a note on the last, number three, Amy's sister Adam, she actually had a heart transplant surgery a few days ago. Miraculously, a heart was made available. I didn't get a response yet to see what happened, but the surgery was completed, and so please pray for recovery. Let's just continue to pray for our friends here. Let's pray for ones that are dealing with illness but also needs to accept Christ. Let's pray for God to, you know, really start taking people off this list. It just keeps growing and growing. Let's pray that they would meet Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are ill with non-cancer-related issues, and let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray over our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision to come into their lives. Let's go over our mission focus this morning. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for Febe, Pastor Selamat, and the ministry. Pray for a church in Kupang that we've been ministering to in the past. And pray for Singapore and the church plant. Ask God to continue to provide. You know, one of the biggest needs in Singapore is they still need to find a pastor. And so let's ask God to just provide in that way. Let's pray for these two places. Thank you. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our leaders, our pastors ministering there. Pray for the volunteers and the teachers. Pray for the kids. They would just grow and learn the things of God and really trust their heart with Him. Let's pray for our education staff. Let's pray for our families and our marriages. Let's pray that SP would be full of strong marriages between husbands and wives and kids that are very well behaved and love God. Let's pray for love to flow in the families, and if there's any marital issues, that there will be a lot of healing and restoration, and pray for God's protection over the families. Let's pray over our weekend activities. Let's pray for our Sunday services. Tomorrow, Pastor Eugene will be preaching on Reboot. Pray for Noah's Ark and all the teachers and staff and the kids. Pray for the worship team this weekend and the hospitality, welcoming barista. Pray for the youth group. Pray for the outreaches. They'll be serving to the poor on Sunday. Pray for the volunteers. They'll be going out to do that. And pray for IP, and that's meeting today, and all the meetings that are going on throughout this weekend. Let's ask for God's hand and grace to be with us, huh? Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Pray for Bel Air, Robinson family, and McDaddy. Let's ask God to bless everyone who comes, that they would really learn to love one another, love God, and the community would just grow together in the Lord. Let's pray for the leaders and just the time. Be really blessed, and especially in the Bel Air and Robinson families, the kids who come. Pray the kids would also be ministered to by the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this precious weekend that you give to us, God. And we pray, Lord, that people would just continue to grow, Lord, even though the fast is over, God, that people would still seek after you, that we would just continue to be dependent upon you, Lord God. And especially this weekend, Lord, we say we need you so much, God. We need you to move and work in our lives, Lord. And so come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us, God, this weekend. We thank you, Father. Watch over us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.